In denial for years, but it finally had to end. What about you? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome into the Arrow News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Bob Miller is my guest, Bob of Bob Miller Flight Training and of Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot. And Bob also has a story that we've touched on before and want to go into a little more detail this time about medical issues. And Bob, thank you for your about-to-be candor and for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure, as always, Paul, to be talking with you.
You had in the May edition of Over the Airwaves, you had an article, Your FAA Medical Got You Worried? Question mark. You have touched on this story before, but never told it in this much detail. From what you've told me, this has been relatable to an awful lot of people who haven't wanted to come forward before. Let's tell that story again.
Yes, Paul, and I must admit being very gratified by the number of my readers who have expressed appreciation for my publishing my personal story with the FAA and my FAA medical. And this is a good news story. This is not a Bob Hoover experience of years ago, decades ago, but it's really a good news story. In fact, I had the opportunity to meet and talk very briefly with the FAA administrator recently at a meeting, and I shook his hand and I said, "Mr. Administrator, I just want to compliment the Aero Medical Branch in Oklahoma City for the wonderful work they are truly doing for pilots, if based on nothing other than my own experience." And let me just encapsulate my experience. I'm in my sixth decade right now, and about my 50th birthday, I began to notice some problems with blood pressure, some problems with spilling some sugar in my urine, both of which I had attempted to control with diet and exercise to some degree of success. But I was reaching a dilemma. I had my primary physician, without really coming out with a hard diagnosis of hypertension or diabetes, he said, "Bob, you really should think about getting on some medication to bring that blood pressure down a little bit and to control your sugar." And I said, "Doctor, I don't want to do it." And he said, "Why not?" And I said, "Well, because I'm a professional pilot, and as soon as I do that, I have to fess that information up to the FAA, and they're going to ground me for 6 months or more while I try to get a special issuance medical." And so I didn't do it. And I went for years playing cat and mouse with my health, trying to control very important health issues with something less effective than some medication. And then the situation got to the point where my doctor said, "Listen, you're progressing to a stage where you're really going to have to do something, or you're going to suffer some very serious medical consequences." And long story made short, I bit the bullet. I went on the medication. I immediately reported it to the FAA. Medical, of course, had to be surrendered at that point forward. But I want to tell you, in very short order, in less than a month, I was able to get my medical certification back, special issuance back. And now I have blood pressure of a 21-year-old. I take one simple pill a day. I take another single pill a day to control blood sugar. And my health is now where it should be, my blood test, if you will. And I can sleep nights knowing that the FAA is fully aware of the medications that I'm taking and everything is working out nicely. So, long story made short, Paul, if you need to be on the medication, get on the medication. Don't worry about the FAA. If you're on the medication and you're not telling the FAA, beware. The FAA, this is the 21st century era of technology. They can find out. If they do find out that you're on medication that you have not reported, the consequences is your medical can be yanked and you'll never get it back again. And if you think they will not find it out, they can. And even worse, God forbid there's an accident where they're doing a toxicology. Remember, you have family and an estate that you're leaving behind. You will be deemed having flown without a medical if you're, in fact, flying on medication that should have been reported and that you didn't. Your insurance company can very easily say if you fly either in a non-airworthy aircraft or you're flying without a medical, they can deny insurance coverage. and that alone is bad, but then think about the lawyers for the other side, of parties that you may have hurt in this accident, your estate could be wiped out. So very important stuff here, and my experience was all good. If you're on the medication, as I said, take it. If you're taking it, report it to the FAA. You'll be back in the air in no time.
There are a number of fears that that plague people who are in these situations, whether it's the situation of being not on the medication and should be, or on the medication and not reporting it. How much of an enemy and how much of a friend is your AME and the medical branch at the FAA?
Okay. You have a way, Paul, of going to the heart of many issues, and this is the heart of this issue. You have to find an AME who knows the system. When I say knows the system, I don't mean the ability to manipulate the system, but he has an understanding of what he or she can and cannot do. My AME here in Buffalo, if anybody wants to contact me privately and you can give them my information, email address, I will be happy to refer that individual to them. But a senior AME is who I work with, and there's a difference between an AME and a senior AME. He knew what he had to, the information I had to provide. He knew the form that I had to provide it to him in. He was able to bind that up and get it out to Oklahoma City and get a reading very, very quickly, or an approval very, very quickly. And I give all the credit to the local AME. He was the person that was able to do it for me.
More with Bob Miller in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News. Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220. Welcome back to the ANN Special Feature. I'm talking today with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about his experience with a special issue medical a while back and lessons for the rest of us. Bob, before we even make an appointment with our AME, what role does our primary care physician have in this?
Okay, there again, you need to have a private physician who is going to be responsive to the information needs that the FAA is going to require. I needed a letter from my AME. Excuse me, I needed a letter from my primary care physician, and I have more than one. I have my general physician. I have an ophthalmologist. You know, I'm dealing with sugar issues, type 2 diabetes, so there's an eye implication. So I needed a letter from my ophthalmologist saying that there was no diabetic retinopathy going on in my eyes. I needed an EKG that I was able to get from my primary physician. If there are other health issues that are going on other than the issues that I was talking about, you need to be able to get letters from your primary care physician worded in ways that make it easy for the FAA to approve it. You know, I had to have statements from my doctor that I was not experiencing any hypoglycemic events. That had to be rooted into the letter. And so my primary guy was very, very helpful. In fact, I drafted the letter for him. And he looked at the letter and he says, yeah, I can put that on my letterhead stationery and I can sign it. And that's just what happened. I drafted the letter and he signed it. And my AME told me precisely what needed to be in that letter, so it was a done deal. What takes Oklahoma City a amount of time is when we submit an incomplete file. If your AME submits the packet for you and it's missing certain amounts of information, they have to send it out in letter back to your AME or back to you. That takes time. The packet that I sent in, or that was sent in by my AME, was complete. It answered the question. It just made it easy for the aeromedical branch to approve it. So the information has to be complete.
All right. Now, you mentioned the ophthalmologist. I think a lot of us, I know I haven't been to an ophthalmologist in, probably 20 or 30 years, I go to an optometrist when I need new glasses. And if I sense what information is going to be required here, it might pay me to go to an actual ophthalmologist who will be qualified to do the checking into the condition of my eyes more than just measuring their acuity.
Yes, I don't want to get into, and I'm not qualified to speak to the difference between an ophthalmologist and an optometrist, but I do know that the FAA medical certification branch, they're looking for a disease entity. They're looking for some pathology that might not be something that an optometrist can address from a clinical perspective. So it's not that much more to see your ophthalmologist. If you're dealing with type 2 diabetes, you need to be seeing an ophthalmologist anyway, because they are checking diseases of the eye. If there are other issues going on, you may need a referral from an internist or a diabetologist or any subspecialty branch. The more information that you can provide your AME, that's more bullets that he can put in your gun. In his gun. And again, the point you raised, Paul, we need an AME who is a pilot advocate. We do not need an AME who's working for the FAA. And I say that deliberately. You know, there are some AMEs out there who believe it's their responsibility to protect the skies from dangerous pilots. You know, we need an AME that's going to advocate for the pilot, saying, listen, my pilot, my patient meets the requirements of a safe, healthy, in other words, a pilot that's suitable to be in the sky and somebody's going to advocate for us. Now, if there were conditions that clearly made me ineligible, then I don't think any AME is going, I know, that no, they're not going to fraudulently say something that isn't the case. But, you know, there's still a lot of misinformation out there. You know, we can, from a diabetes perspective, you can be on insulin and still qualify for a class 3 medical certificate. I just had an individual in my office a little while ago who has a defibrillator in his system, but thinking he would never qualify for a private pilot certificate. Heck, there have been heart transplant patients who've qualified for medical class 3 medical certificates. So here again, going to an AME who knows current rules, current thinking, is paying attention to what's going on in Oklahoma City. They are becoming much, much more enlightened in terms of what we can and cannot do medically and be a pilot.
All right. Well, Bob, you know, it should be very revealing to people to know that you can have been through some pretty significant health problems and still be able to qualify if you regain your health. So I hope this is useful to folks, and we appreciate your comments. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Well, thanks, Paul. My pleasure.
You can sign up to receive Bob Miller's online newsletter and find links to learn more about his flight school at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.